Welcome to the Unidentified Podcast. I'm Teen Nguyen, aka Saigo. Today, I'll be sharing with you some music from a new band I've started in Bulgaria, a preview of a new song by an artist I met in London, music from a band I encountered in a club in Rio, and an interview with Fela Clan, my good friends and collaborators in southern Brazil. To support this podcast and access all the episodes, please go to patreon.com/unidentify. You'll also be directly supporting my music. I'm here in Balneário Camboriú, a city in Brazil with a really hard name to pronounce. I spent 3 days traveling here from Europe. It's nice and warm. It's kind of foggy. My girlfriend's mom is cooking lunch, and the pressure cooker is making a really high-pitched noise that hopefully is not going to show up in this recording. But that's how you make beans, guys. Lots of rice and beans down here. I came here from Sofia, Bulgaria, where I've also been every year for the past 5 years now. So that's like a new home for me. And I just started a band there with some of the guys that we've played with over the past few years, whether it be with the band Dio or Kanwa Khan or my own project. They're really amazing musicians. We're going to call the band Android Ethics, and here's a demo we've been working on. Atomic Solar Galaxy. Show us liberty when we alive. We write our own history. So that's a new song in the works from my band Android Ethics. It's called Taking Our Time. We're really excited about it. It kind of happened magically on the last day of this 4-day retreat we went on in the Bulgarian mountain village of Bansko. On my way from Bulgaria to here in Brazil, I had a 1-day layover in London, and through the magic of the internet, I was connected with a really amazing artist named Lees, who goes by the artistic name of Jungle Lees. She took me to the Nomadic Community Gardens in Shoreditch, which was one of the coolest places I think I've been in London. I just love nature, so it was outdoors, and people have their gardens, and a ton of graffiti, and there's a cafe, and a bunch of colorful benches. And we just hung out and listened to her music, which is amazing. First of all, just hearing contemporary soul music with a message is something that is way too rare. But she's doing it, and she calls her music Cosmic Soul, which I think is a pretty great way to describe it. The one song she played for me is not released yet. It's on her upcoming audio and visual EP. And she was kind enough to allow me to play a little bit for you guys. So here it is. It's unethical what you're doing. Talking to me like you own me. Dirty behavior, my body, no. I cannot get taken to blame. It's unethical what you're saying. Talking to me like you own me. Dirty behavior, my body, no. Watch me kill the That's Jungle Lees with the unreleased track Unethical, coming soon. So the next day, I took a 12-hour flight to Rio de Janeiro and met up with my buddy Felipe. He brought me to a club in Lapa. And Lapa is somewhere I always want to go when I'm in Rio. It's just the most festive area. and there's always a good party going on, even if you're just hanging out on the street. And it did not disappoint. A live band took the stage, and it was very aptly named Techno Brass, and totally fired up the crowd. It was a drummer playing EDM beats, a percussionist, trombone, trumpet, saxophone, tuba, and sousaphone. It was super loud, and there were girls dancing on stilts. So, all around, just a magical, random evening, and I was half dead from the flight, and it might have just been a dream, but I had a lot of fun, and I'll definitely be going back to Rio sometime soon. That's Pedra by Techno Brass. I got about 30 minutes of sleep that night before I made my way to the airport and took a flight to Balneário Camboriú. One of my main collaborators down here is a band called Fela Clan, and the guitarist Fernando is a dear friend of mine and was actually visiting me in Bulgaria when I made my last single, a collaboration with the Bulgarian neo-soul band Dio. So a very international collaboration. And it's already had a very cool life. It was included on one of Will Smith's video blogs where he's hoverboarding around. And Apple put it on some cool playlists, notably the Brown Sugar playlist, which I was very honored to be a part of. So here it is. It's a track called Thieves. It's a collaboration between myself, Dayo from Bulgaria, and Fernando das Neves from Brazil. You needed. We found trouble.
page through me. I'm open for reading, running sideways between the lines that you found. Secrets to my mind.
That's my song with Dayo featuring Fernando das Neves on guitar. The title is Thieves, and it's available on Spotify and Apple Music and all that. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce my friends Fernando and Larissa of Fela Clan. They joined me at Disco Jazz Studios, where they're recording a bunch of new material.
Fela Clan is a band that we made when?
I think 2 years ago.
Yeah, almost 2 years ago. I
really?
Think in August would
it
be
2 years.
It seems
like a lot longer.
Yeah, but not even two.
Yeah, we've done a lot of things in 2 years, I think. We built a band from scratch and started the shows, and then we were just writing with you, the single that we released last year.
We're going to have to play that song for the listeners.
Yes, it's a very special song for us.
Yeah.
Very special.
And we're always playing this song wherever we go.
Yeah.
We have every time is a good reaction from any crowd, you know?
Yeah,
like,
every time.
Like we played this in a school. Like
sometimes I ask the audience, can I play one of our songs for you?
And then
they are always open and they always liked a lot of the song. That's
especially
cool.
When it ends like... It's very powerful and people...
And we have a version that is live. It's a different version
from
what we released.
Did you, for the live version.
It? Yeah.
No. Only for the gigs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, like we play a little bit different from the album version.
Then he plays a solo.
It's not an album, yeah.
And Luca, our drummer, also solo. Yeah.
I like that when you save some for the live show.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's cool. It's nice.
That's
people need to listen something different in your live concert than
And it's very good for the dynamic of the song, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're the guitarist, Fernando. Do you think the guitar solo in recorded music is dead? Or the last time I heard one was that song for The Darkness. Remember that song?
The Darkness?
Yeah, the song is like, I believe in a thing called love, come straight from the rhythm of my heart. You know that one?
The song.
That one didn't make it to Brazil?
Yeah.
I never heard.
It doesn't sound totally strange for me, but I'm not sure what
it was.
Song
like
it is.
This huge song, I don't know, maybe less
so
than 10 years ago.
So it has a guitar solo?
Oh, yeah. It's like in the style of the hair metal. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
The Darkness? There's this band called The Dark. Anyway, no, you don't. It's not.
But yeah, I don't think it's totally dead. You know, I think there's good guitar solos in doing, like for guys like Isaiah Sharkey. And, I don't know, very. How can I say? Exciting things, different guitar things.
It's
going
hard,
on,
though, right?
You know?
It's hard to not do something cheesy or.
Yes.
Predictable.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah.
It's
but
kind of
I think in pop music today is this, you know, more than like rock and roll solos and not that it's not, I don't like rock and roll solos, but I think kind of modern music and pop songs are going through this a little bit more crazy ways.
Yeah, just more random or not random, but just it's more experimental.
Yeah, a little bit random.
That's
sometimes
true.
And I don't know, just not so much. Like virtuoso and
yeah,
more creative and innovating.
Innovative. Yeah.
Innovative.
I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because a lot of the people that are making music now, since all you need is a laptop, I think they found a lot of them don't have a classical or a jazz background.
Yeah, yeah, jazz or rock background. Yeah, that's right? For sure, yeah.
So they find ways.
I think that's a big part of this, yeah.
I kind of feel that way. Like, I am so jealous of you guys that are, like, masters of your instrument. You know, like, I've always wanted to have that feeling, like, the feeling when we're singing we're just kind of free.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
but to do that through another instrument, I don't know, for some reason, I get jealous.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
For sure, because what we can do with our voices is, like, something more natural for every human being. Everyone can sing. But, you know, take a beautiful sound of another object, that's too crazy, you know, and pass your feelings through that thing, you know?
Yeah, just like singing is crazy too. Like to transform your body in your instrument. It's crazy for me.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So you came, the Fela Clan has been around for 2 years, so that means you've been living here in the south of Brazil for a little over 2 years.
Yeah, now in April.
It's been 2 years. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're from and just kind of your history as a singer?
Well, I started to sing like I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I started to study classical music, so I sing like operas and stuff. And I was in this intense study, like it was every day.
Where was this?
Was in Niterói, Rio de Janeiro. Yes, and the classes was in my professor's house. So something this, I saw him more than I saw my dad. Because
so it was like Karate Kid style?
Yeah, exactly. It really
did
was.
Did you have to like clean the floors and stuff?
No, nothing like that.
She was more like, put the coat.
Take off the coat. With your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And I take classes from this professor for 4 years.
Yeah.
And
it's from 18 to 22, kind of?
Yes, okay. Exactly. And we did recitals.
Uh-huh.
Like three or fourth for year, like.
Yeah. You know?
And then I decided to go for pop music because I didn't felt that I was connecting to the something more classic. There's something made. There's something, you know, about the discipline and following the thing exactly like it is. I felt like I needed to let go of stuff, you know.
Yeah. And you finished the 4 years? You did four years?
Yes, yes.
That's really serious, right? Because you're out of high school by that point. It's basically college for you.
Yes, exactly. Right? Exactly. Because I was studying acting in the morning, and afternoon I was in my singing lessons.
And was this like encouraged by your parents or
by my mom?
It sounds like raising Beyonce or something. Like you had
actually
triple threat.
It was something really individual for me.
Yeah.
Because my mom didn't do the classes.
Yeah.
She told me you should go and I am a very disciplined person, you know.
Yeah.
And I did. It was like college in the morning and afternoon singing. five times a week.
And college was acting college.
Yeah, acting college. Exactly.
Do you do some acting still? Or
I did, but it was so long time ago. By the time that I was ending the college, I was like, okay, I need to be a singer. I don't want to be an actress anymore. And then I met a lot of people. I work with a lot of fantastic people in the business. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it.
Did you have to unlearn a lot of the stuff you learned? And
because
you,
lot,
I didn't know you did
a
opera.
Lot, a lot. You've never seen?
I've never seen you sing
YouTube.
Opera.
You have Larissa Mardonio. Yes.
Oh, I'm going to link to that.
I've seen a few times you singing. Like,
yeah, he's so.
Yeah. We were about to play in a wedding ceremony, you know. And then I went to the background of the church. Like I was needing some water. And then the priest just found me, and then he said, "Oh, you're the musician."
Yeah.
And then I say,
It was a very old and little church.
And then he said, like, oh, can you play some Ave Maria? And then I said, man, I'm really not sure about it. You need to go there and talk to the singer.
Do you know the song, though? You know the harmony? No.
He says, I don't play it. You know?
And then she said, oh, I think I can do it by myself.
Yeah.
And this was for like the walk up when the bride's walking up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, like in the moment, you know? Like in the moment. We were there,
like,
ready.
The most important moment of the whole wedding.
Yes. Like, we were there. We were there. Ready to play, you know? Yeah. And then he said, oh, can you play this?
It's like we took some suggestions of the couple that was getting married, and we take the songs and...
But a long time ago. Yeah. A long time before the ceremony.
But it was like a lot of time of my life that I didn't even sing a song. Like,
she just took the cell phone and, oh, I'm going to take a look at this. And
I looked the lyrics and I was like, okay. I can do
Let's do it in Latin, right?
I don't think Ave Maria. I mean,
Grazia plena.
Exactly.
I just know
Italian.
The Stevie Wonder version.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah, it's good.
It's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I sang the song. It was pretty crazy. It's like a very important technique, you know?
Yeah.
That I think some things that I carry with me until today.
Yeah.
I had to, what was the word you said? Like, unlearn.
Unlearn
the way that I sang, because it was like really different from popular music. But I had a little time, a while to figure that out, you know, like how the sound of the voice is going to come out after studying such a long time.
Right. I sang when I was a kid. All I did was sing in choirs.
Really?
So, like, super pure tones and raising the soft palate, which I loved. I could, like, sight read music and do solfege and all that stuff. And I had such a hard time trying to sing pop music when I was starting to play in bands and stuff.
How old you are, like, at this point?
When I'm trying to sing pop?
Yeah.
I think it started when I was around like 16, really.
Yeah, I
started playing in bands when I was like 14, just playing bass and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was still singing in choir. Yeah. And then when I turned 16, that's when in the US you can start to drive in a lot of places.
Yeah, okay.
So I got a car, and my friend's mom had given me a Stevie Wonder CD for a road trip. And I just started like singing in the car all the time to Stevie Wonder.
Oh my God.
You know? And, just making terrible noises while I'm driving, you know, just like trying out so many. And I still kind of do this. We kind of do this every time when we record. We're like, maybe I'll do it like this. Maybe I'll do it like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So most people can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Right. But for you, like, it's still that same process of just constantly trying to find your voice and also just whatever's right for whatever you're singing. And then trying to know how it's going to sound to the listener, which is sounding different than what you're intending too, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a weird little
dance. Especially with your voice, I guess.
Yeah.
You probably hear it
totally
different than the other people.
I guess that's the main difference. Well, one of the main differences between like a singer and other instrumentalists.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, at least I think guitar is maybe one of the best, because you're hearing pretty much exactly what you want the other person to hear, right?
Yeah, that's
you can stand
true.
In front of the amp and just kind of mess around with your tone and stuff.
Exactly.
Probably.
That's very cool. Different for us, like.
but we're never gonna be able to experience our music the way that the listener does.
Yeah,
isn't
people
that crazy?
Yeah, that's totally crazy. Yeah,
that's
the thing. Sometimes I think that when I learn a song, like, it becomes different.
Yeah,
it's like. The first time you heard the song and you don't know him and it have
totally
a different magic, you know, and then you learn the song, it's still nice, you can play, but it sounds different. Not sounds, it feels different.
Yeah.
And then
crazy.
After you play
I don't know what to say. It's crazy.
Totally. And then you play it like 200 or 300 times and then you never want to hear it again.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Or you know what's funny is like when you hear a song and you decide, oh, I'm going to play that song, and you learn it. And you've really only heard the song like a few times, and but then you play it, you start playing it, you put it in your set, and then it becomes your song.
Yeah.
And then you hear the original, and you're like, no, they're not doing it right.
Yeah.
You
know?
Exactly. Right? And it happens a lot with Fela Kuti, especially.
Yeah,
like,
we're always like,
but that's the thing, like, we're three musicians, like one singer and three instrumentalists.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we need to adapt everything that we're playing, you know, for our trio version.
And
you know?
We're doing like pop covers and songs that are hard to put together on a trio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think we do a good job, like making it look like us, you know.
Yeah.
About every instrument and versions and.
That's rankings. Other thing that happens sometimes. The whole concert has one identity, you know. Even if the song is totally different from one another, the way that we play, it makes the difference. Like,
and
it makes
happens,
it have one identity.
Yeah, that happens because we did a lot of shows during these past 2 years. A lot. And the thing is, you can rehearsal a lot, but being with the audience is something totally different.
Yeah. And it's
totally different.
It's its own form of rehearsal sometimes, right?
The show is never complete before like 5-6 concerts.
Right. Yeah, totally. Especially as a singer, right?
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really great at memorizing lyrics. Yeah, actually, I'm getting better.
At least your lyrics you memorize.
It depends, because, you know, as far as I'm familiar, there's one side of your brain that handles, like, your muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
Or one section of your brain, you know. And then the part that actually learns how to do it and thinks about, you know, every note, every word, it's another part of the brain, you know? So when you're live and you're singing and you know the song really well, it comes from a whole other part of the brain, you know, and it's a totally different sensation when you really, like, are not thinking at all about the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think the challenge also is after that is to reconnect with what it means.
Yes.
Right? So you got to learn it by thinking about it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Get to the point where you stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then try, remind yourself, like, oh, what am I singing about, actually?
Exactly.
Right?
It's exactly like that. Yeah. I remember that the first 2 months of Fela Kuti, I always did the show with an iPad, you know, like, with me. And after a long time, I was like, okay, so what am I singing about?
Yeah.
And that's when the things start to get good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for everything, for the tone of the voice, for the interpretation, for dynamics, for everything. That's crazy.
You know, something funny that happens all the time with me, especially playing guitar, like, if I have an old tune, not old, but that I don't play for a long time, you know, and then I'll try to remember it, like, especially when we have like complex melodies, you know, or something that have a lot of notes and different and passages and stuff like this, and then you try to play it, and then you go there and you play it slowly, you know, and then you say, fuck, I can't remember this part or other part, and then you say, oh, I'll just try to play it like I used to play, you know, not in a slow version, and then It comes,
because it's in the other part.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Totally crazy. Like,
I don't know what I'm going to do now.
And then sometimes you just don't think, you know, and then your hand does the job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, we were like, when I was in high school, high school, like the professor, the teacher used to say this, like, you need to practice low. Yeah. Not only for your technique, but for your brain.
Yeah.
Because it's totally different when you're playing fast, you're not really memorizing like you should.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you play it fast, and then your hand, it's like your hand memorize it, but your brain is not memorizing. And then you try to play it slow, and you can't do this. It's what really happened. We have things in our hands, and probably in a different part of the brain, too.
Yeah.
And it's good to have both, you know. You can play each passage in a slow tempo and knowing each note that you're gonna play later, you know. And it's totally crazy, different ways of learn and study, and it's the magic brain, no?
Right. I think kind of the way it works is whatever your body does, your brain remembers what you did, and it doesn't really care if it was right or it was wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're playing it fast and you're just like playing it until you get it right, you might get it right once, but you played it like 99 times wrong, and that's what your brain remembers.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the most dangerous situation that you can do by practicing fast.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's like memorizing something wrong. Yeah. It's the thing that we always try to not do this.
Yeah.
But what I was saying, it was even playing for both ways. You need to practice both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
For your brain, not only for your hands.
Yeah.
And language, right? It's like the same way. Yeah. Like I'm trying to, in Portuguese, I need to just talk slower because now I'm starting, like I have the vocabulary now.
Yes.
But my mouth doesn't know how to like say these words fast.
Exactly.
But I do it anyway. And I think my brain is like I'm getting really bad habits, like the LH, you know, like trabalhar.
And
I
was like, trabalhar. Happens with us. Yeah, for me, especially when I'm talking English.
I was working on a no-name cover, Diddy Bop. It was the most difficult song that I ever sang. I mean, like, with the language, because of the language.
Yeah.
It's so fast and a lot of words and a lot of things. It's a lot of information, you know, like, in a very short time. That was
pretty impressed. I saw you guys play it the other day. It was awesome.
True. Cool.
Yeah,
I love your arrangements, like your arrangement of that Drake song.
Yeah.
Hotline Bling.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Good arrangement.
I think at some point Robert Glasper is here and he's gonna contact me and say, "Oh man, I love your arrangement."
Yeah. Yo. This is the kind of
get this guy a mic, man.
Oh my god. Pablo Rodriguez.
Get in here, Pablo. Well, it's Brazil, and friends are here, and that's the end of a podcast. So everyone say bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, friends from Saigo Podcast.
All right.
Happy birthday.
How am I supposed to figure out if I
that's a song I wrote with Fela Clan called Rise and Fall. Thanks for listening to the Unidentify podcast. I'm T. Nguyen, aka Saigo, and I'll talk to you next time.